when you try a demo for yourself, you're not talking people through it, so that's why it takes time.
All right, let's get back to it. I'm going to be talking about running containers in Linux VMs.
Thanks so much. Thanks very much for the intro. Thanks for being here. I'm Anastasios Nanos, along with my colleague Babis. We're going to talk about sandboxing applications, the overhead, the isolation boundaries, and blah, blah, blah. So a bit about us. So we're a really small company. We do research. We focus on system software. Of course, what we're presenting is not entirely our work. There's a team that works on specific stuff and other stuff. We also do hardware acceleration. We do hypervisors. So the overview of this presentation is essentially, we're going to talk about containers, about how we sandbox applications to execute them, about our favorite sandboxed container runtime, Kata, and how we try to optimize the execution of applications in the same setting as Kata, but another way. So we all know we are in the containers dev room. We all know about containers. Most probably like using them. Apparently, it's the de facto application packaging and deployment framework right now. You can do a Docker build something and Docker run something on your laptop. You can deploy that in the cloud, on edge devices. So it's really, really easy. Containers offer these isolation mechanisms. So we've got the process level isolation thing. It's based on mechanisms that the Linux kernel offers. So we have got namespaces. We can limit the usage of resources through C groups. The main concern from mainly from cloud providers, from multi-tenant execution environments, let's say, is that when you share the Linux kernel, so you have a shared surface that you can attack. So what cloud providers do in order to offer you a service for containers, they sandbox these containers using another isolation layer, which could be in software, like the gvisor that was mentioned in the previous talk, or using hardware-assisted isolation. We focus on that. And by hardware-assisted isolation, thank you. By hardware-assisted isolation, what we mean is that we boot a VM, and inside this VM, there's a mechanism that can spawn the container that the user asked. This premise is used in the Kata containers runtime, which is a sandboxed container runtime, meaning that you do a Docker run, a netctl run, whatever. A micro VM is spawned, or a VM, a fully fledged VM, is spawned. Inside this VM, there's a management utility, the Kata agent, which communicates with the runtime, which runs outside the VM, and it spawns a container, the container that the user asks. However, in order to do that, you need to spawn the VM, so you have a cold start overhead, let's say. You have to have a Linux kernel. You have to have a rootfs for the VM. It's a complicated stack. So digging in a bit more into Kata. So when we do a Docker run using the Kata containers runtime, we spawn a VM with a Linux kernel. Usually it's Kata, the Kata releases are shipped with a specialized kernel, with a specialized config, a bit of stripped down. There is a specialized rootfs based on various distros, depending on what the user wants, essentially. So the VM is spawned. We establish communication between the runtime and the kata agent running as the init process in the VM, in the micro VM, and the containers are spawned. So we've got the sidecar containers in a Kubernetes setting. The whole pod is a single VM. So we've got sidecar containers, and we've got the user code in the container, all within the same VM. The isolation boundaries now are between the infrastructure, between the host system and the containers, is the hardware-assisted isolation. And between the containers inside this pod, we've got the standard these containers inside this micro VM. They share the same Linux kernel. They have C groups and namespaces and all that stuff. Now, I'm going to give the floor to Babis to talk about what we have been doing to optimize this.
So, hello from my side, too. We thought we can do the opposite. So, as we see on your left, we have a typical VM, and inside we have a container runtime that spawns and handles and manages our containers. And usually we have some kind of remote management of the containers that run inside the VM. But what if we do the opposite? What if we just spawn a VM inside a container? So that's what we wanted to do. But of course, because we are also familiar with kata containers, we couldn't do that with kata. But we can do that with UrnC. UrnC is a container runtime. It's a CRI compatible, and it is specialized for managing unikernels as containers. It's very extensible. You can add whatever new guest and whatever new hypervisor you want to support. And the key differences between UrnC and other kind of sandbox container runtimes are that, first of all, UrnC spawns the application inside the VM, but it treats the VM as the actual process. So it's kind of like having your process running inside the VM, and UrnC manages the process through the VMM. And we have one VM per container, meaning that all kind of containers will be spawned in a different virtual machine all the time. So to give a better overview of what exactly this looks like, we have on top the runc that is usually just a normal container running on the host with using namespaces, C groups, capabilities, all these kind of goodies that Linux kernel can provide. Then we have kata, which do the same thing but inside the VM. And then we have UrnC, which takes a quite different approach. It is a container runtime that it creates the VM inside a sandboxed environment, inside a typical container. So to give a better overview of how this works in Kubernetes, for example, the difference here is that UrnC will take care only of the user container. So, for example, when we have cases like in the Knative, where we have one more sidecar container like the kproxy or the pos container for the pod, this is not going to be handled from the UrnC. We treat this kind of containers as our containers. These are containers that belong to the stack, to the system stack. So the kproxy doesn't need to have any strong isolation, but the code provided by the user, this needs to be isolated, and that's why we contain it inside a virtual machine. Only the untrusted part of the whole code. So, as I said before, we want to do this we want to spawn a VM and then run a container inside it. And I will try to do that right now. Oops, sorry for that. So, okay. So maybe I will skip that demo because it's not that exciting. Maybe the next one will be more exciting. So we'll talk a bit about, so this demo was about, we were just getting the kernel from kata container, so we're just running one container on top of it. But the thing here is that in this demo, we're using the default kata kernel, which is configured with around 1,000 options in the kernel. It has various kind of support, like device hot plug, ACPI, X tables, and all these other kind of things that some of them might be useful, some of them might be not that useful, depending on which kind of scenario, which kind of use case you target. But we know that specialization is the key for having a low overhead and footprint, better performance, and stronger security. So on one side, we know that we have the Kata Linux. We have this kind of all these features that Kata can provide in their Linux IMADs. And then on the other side, we have unikernels, which go to the extreme, and they only get what is extremely necessary for the applications. But because most people don't really like unikernels, because they are difficult, they are not that easy, especially porting, people in the unikernel community have tried to create, let's say, Linux clones. So they are trying to be binary compatible with Linux. And we don't believe that this is the best approach, because we don't get the benefits of unikernels. And instead of doing that, we're never going to be Linux compatible if we are not Linux. So why not just use Linux? Linux is running everywhere. We can just customize it as much as we want. And it's compatible with everything. So we are not the first one who had this idea, of course. There was a team from IBM that created a very nice paper called Lupine. And they were trying to make Linux in looking more like a unikernel. They identified that there are a lot of configuration options that they could simply just remove them. And they were really created very, very tiny Linux kernels. And they also tried to play around with system calls and overhead. And they were the key findings that they were able to boot as fast as unikernels. They were very small. And they identified that the system call overhead is not that big. So based on that, we want to do the same thing. We want to create a tool that will analyze the container, will identify what is especially required for a specific container. It will create a configuration for the kernel for this exact container, and then it will analyze the and then it will just build the kernel. So I will go here, and so we don't really have time, but this is a kernel, a latest kernel, and we have configured already. As you can see, we have already built it. Because we don't have time, we're not going to build it now. It's not going to take a lot of time. It will just take a few, maybe 1 minute or something. It's very, very small. Actually, I can show you the size of this. It's only around 13 megabytes. So we will take this kernel here. We will copy it inside here, and then we will. And we have created a tool that creates some. It's based on BuildKit and LLB. So what we're going to do right now, we'll just copy the kernel inside the VM, inside the container, and we use as a base the Nginx Alpine version. And we have this huge CMD line that we just say to Nginx, don't run on daemon because we'll die. So we will build this container simply with Docker build. And this will take a few moments. Okay. And now we can run it. So here we have the container running inside the VM. It's an Nginx. And we can even. Get here, get the IP, and we can do a curl to show that it's working. Yes, it does working. And we can also stop it here. Oops. Okay. And to show you that we indeed run in a different kernel, we will just change here to uname. Yeah, I should do bin here. We will build it with Docker again. And now we will just run the Nginx Alpine with just okay. So at first we will just run it on top of Kata, and we see that we are running in this kind of kernel here in 6.12. We will do the same with run C, and we will do the same with uran C. And we successfully panicked, but why we panicked is because the application just exited. So as you can see here, somewhere, if you're, oh yeah, it's down there. Okay, this binary doesn't exist.
So we have more minutes.
Okay, so we're not going to search it, but it simply runs the uname. So if we do, like, if we try to do here, it was bin uname, yeah. It seems it's there. Okay, that's weird. So to wrap up. We also did some very, very early evaluation about this to measure the kernel image that we created that I just showed you, and also measure the boot time that we have. And you can see the test bit here. So regarding the image size, we had we targeted the Nginx, and we can see that lower is better here. The sizes are in megabytes, and we see that Kata is extremely big. Then we have the case of Unicraft. This is a generic Unicraft that tries to be binary compatible with Linux. And then we can see that our Linux is even smaller than Unicraft. And then we can see that the original Lupin kernel was just 5 megabytes, and that was based on an old kernel, so maybe that's the reason. And also we have the Unicraft HTTP, which is a very specialized unikernel that is just a few kilobytes. So regarding the start time, we see that, again, lower is better. The start time is in milliseconds. We see that run C is the fastest one. Kata is quite slow. And uran C can almost be, it's not as good as run C, but it's very close, and as we guess, even with booting the Linux. I would like to mention that this project is partially funded from European projects. And to summarize, we know that containers are great. They lack some kind of isolation. Sandbox execution is as an alternative for providing a strong isolation. But they induce some kind of overhead. And we try to reduce that, and we can do that with uran C. And we even want to strip down the Linux kernel to make it even smaller and fast. And you can check out the code in these kind of two links. This is the building tool, and this is the container runtime. And you can also come tomorrow to the WebAssembly dev room and see how we also integrate these kind of things with WebAssembly. So thank you for your time, and that's from my side.
So thank you. Unfortunately, we're out of time. So if you have any questions, you can take them outside.